Welcome back, pod people, to the latest episode of Cinema D'Amore. I'm your host, Justin Morgan. I'm here with
Chuck.
And we're finishing up our found footage theme with As Above, So Below. A first-time watch for both of us. It's been a while since I even picked a movie that I hadn't watched. But as I said before, I had bought it way too long ago. Probably 6 years ago, if not more. And it just sat on my shelf. I totally forgot about it. Which goes with whenever we did Foxcatcher and you talked about Capote, I said, that's another one I have on my shelf and I'm going to watch it now.
You'll get there eventually watching all those.
Yeah. I never saw this guy's quarantine video. What else did you say that he made?
Devil.
Okay.
Yeah.
This movie was interesting. I don't think that it was the perfect found footage movie that people led me to believe it was, but there's a lot of interesting things in it, and there's also a lot of pretty mundane jump scare-esque things, I would say.
I would agree. It's not maybe it was overhyped for us. Maybe it was there was a lot of pressure for this movie to be the greatest found footage film of all time, and it was just pretty good.
The quality was a lot better than I expected, but I remember seeing the trailer for this and just not caring about it. And then I heard really good things about it, and I bought it, and then, as I said, it sat on my shelf, and now I finally watched it.
There was another movie that, I don't think I really got them confused, but I feel like they were, I don't know, maybe in my mind I just kept getting, like, the titles kind of, like, mixed up, or I would think one title was for one movie and one was the other, because it came out the same year as, there was a movie called Deliver Us From Evil with Eric Bana.
Yeah.
I think Joel McHale's in that movie, too. They're like cops in New Orleans or something. It's like, it's making me think of Synchronic. Mm. Like, they're in New Orleans and weird stuff happens.
A lot of weird stuff happens in this. I thought the production value was pretty good for the most part. I don't recognize any of the cast except for Ginsberg from Mad Men and Silicon Valley and the other couple things he's in.
Yeah, that was the same. He was the only... I think this was probably... I guess before either of those things, so I guess they caught him at the right time of...
He was in, I want to say, Are You Afraid of the Dark? He was the...
Wow, but no one...
I was.
...would remember him from that specifically. Yeah, but you've like, rewatched...
I'm insane. He popped up here and there in different movies and TV shows, and every time... Oh, it's the younger brother of... I don't even know the character's names, but he was the younger brother of the kid with glasses. He pops up later, like, in the later seasons, and then when they tried to bring it back, he was the one that hosted the Midnight Society thing. It fell apart. But I think that's the reason I actually remember him, is because I would keep seeing him in things, so I was also seeing him age. If he literally disappeared from everything and then popped up on Mad Men, I would have no idea that's who that was.
I think you're thinking of a different person.
Maybe I am.
I don't think he's in, he is not in Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I have to look him up then.
I don't know who you're thinking of. His earliest credits from like 2003. He was in Cloverfield and Friday the 13th reboot.
I'm familiar with both of those. That's Maybe it's Cloverfield then.
Yeah.
He wasn't the main character in Cloverfield though. He must have been just like a party goer, I had to think.
Yeah. Or just someone that they pass along the way or something like that.
Well, I'm wrong, but I'll have to look up who the hell that other guy was, because he's somebody else that's in other things. You'll be like, he hasn't done anything since Are You Afraid of the Dark? I saw this kid, I'm like, you know what, that must be the kid from Are You Afraid of the Dark. That's who he looks like, that's who he is. I made up my mind. Oh well, that's what you're here for, Chuck. That's what I'm here for.
I'm here to fact check you.
We're fact-checking each other to make sure that hopefully the podcast is accurate by the time it reaches everybody's ears. With this movie, they're in France, and they're going down into the catacombs, which is infamous for just all these bodies that they have down there, that they've had down there for centuries. You can see videos online of a McDonald's in France that has plexiglass floor. You can see the skeletons underneath it. Yeah, perfect setting for a horror movie. I like the concept somewhat. I think the whole Nicholas Flamel's, however you say his name, stone, it just had me thinking of Harry Potter way too much.
I know.
It took you out of it.
Yeah, that was a weird...
The Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah. that whole plot line in general, I feel like, I don't want to say it didn't confuse me, like I wasn't confused by it, but it was just such a weird, for everything I knew about this movie, which was people getting lost in the catacombs under Paris and evil things happening, when it starts out and it's like, the ancient alchemists believe that you could turn things into gold if you just had a special rock, and I was like, this is really where this is starting at? Like, this is the, I mean, in the end, it is still the entire point of the movie. Like, it's not just a, it's not a throwaway, oh, we're going into the catacombs to look for this, and then they get lost, and it's a thing that still figures prominently throughout the entire film, all the way up to the very end.
Yeah, and all I remembered was that it had to do something with eternal life. I don't know so much about gold. I thought that was Midas Touch, but I just know that from the third Aladdin movie, if you remember that. Well, I know it was like a hand on a stick, a golden hand. It was Midas Touch. But if you touched that hand, you would turn to gold. So there were some people that accidentally, you know, got touched with it and turned to gold. And I think the moral of the story was that they didn't need that thing. Like, that's how it always goes. This is interesting because it starts with, well, there's the opening in Iran where they're finding something that leads to where they need to go. It's a little muddled, to be honest.
Yeah, she's looking for some writings that will tell her where the location of something is.
Yeah, it wasn't good that my first thought was, doesn't she need to have wax paper and be getting all this language off of, like, the stone? And then I guess her camera was good enough to capture what she needed to capture. Yeah.
Nope, she just memorizes it all.
She matches her character, who is extremely smart, partially from her dad, and then being forced to go to all these schools. It was fine. It didn't really bother me. It never really felt super genuine to me with a lot of the character. Like, when she met up with George, it felt weird. He was way too comfortable with the camera. Maybe she just always has a fucking... Yeah.
Everyone, like, even the guys that are... Even the guys that you would think wouldn't be the...
we're committing a crime here. Can you not record us?
The guys that are, like, leading, like, the tour guide guys that are going to take them down really don't seem to question the fact that there's a camera there at all. That's even maybe the weirder one. You could imagine, I don't know, the other guy just being like, oh, I don't know, I guess she's got a guy with a camera, but those guys are like, hey, we're getting ready to, yeah, do some illegal stuff, and they never once are like, should we have the guy with the camera here?
And for going down into the catacombs with six people, I thought people were going to start getting killed off pretty fast. All of a sudden, there were seven people, and then there were seven people for a while. And I was like, I don't know if they're going to start killing these people off or not. It has problems, too, with the story. I'm fine with going down the catacombs, kind of getting lost, feeling like they're going in circles, or maybe they are going in circles. Maybe it's something protecting this treasure. That's all fine. But they are really bad, and I guess this is typical of horror movies. They ignore a lot of red flags. Like, so many red flags just completely get ignored. My favorite being, they try to do, like, some scare things with that girl that you see leave the club where she's staring at the camera. But when they finally get into the catacombs and they have that seance or something that's going on,
and they're just like, the tour guide hanging out down here,
Papillon or whatever his name is, says, yeah, there's a lot of weird people down here. That's his explanation, and yeah. No one asks anything else. They keep going down into the catacombs. There's a lot of stuff that didn't exactly work. I like the idea of them crawling over bones and everything, but when the guy's like, I'm stuck, the cameraman's stuck. You look way smaller than that space that you are in. There's no way that you're possibly stuck, sir. Also, there's a guy, I can't remember his name, Latat or something, they called him the Mole, and the story is that he went down this certain path and never came back, and then they find him, and there's not a lot of questions about how he's been alive for 2 years since he's been missing. And he's creepy, which I do admire, that he's, like, the creepiest person in the world. And they do a lot of cool effects where, like, he kind of gets ahead of them in the light. Yeah. I liked the archaeology discovery type stuff and going down in the cavern, but very quickly there's a cave-in and they can't go back. And then the character starts saying shit like, where are we going? Why are they leading us this way? I'm not going through there. Well, what are your other options? The way you came, you can't go back. No character brings that up or says anything about it.
They just have to keep going deeper and deeper.
Down is up.
Yeah.
They keep going down so far to the point where I'm like, I don't see how this, how I'm going to get out of this situation.
They just keep going and going. Obviously, there's like hidden cuts in different places. You know, when the camera's shaking a bit too much, they have like four different cameras for the different. There's like the main camera guy, and then he says he like put cameras on some of the headlamps, so some people have them. I do like the way they kind of do the trick of like having the guy, every time they turn a corner, he's suddenly just way further ahead than he could possibly be at the speed that he's moving. It's also kind of interesting, like the when they keep finding like the things, like a phone and a piano, just like in there, like in just impossible places that are there. Like they play those moments really good. And the moment like towards the end where the guy's in like the burning car, that like you're like, wow, what's that light at the end of the tunnel? And it's just straight up just a full-size burning car in this cave, just out of nowhere, comes at like a good time. But
that's the only thing I remember from the trailer, was there was a burning car.
That, yeah, which is kind of good. They do like plant the seeds early by showing that guy has like a burn that goes nowhere. They're like, oh, how'd that guy get a burn? And they're like, oh, we just don't talk about it. And you honestly think it's like, oh, that'll never get brought up. It's just like a weird, like you're just left to assume like, oh, maybe he got burnt doing some caving or something like that. Like he burned himself on a torch or something. But then when that comes up, and yeah, kind of leaves you to assume that like maybe that's supposed to be like his brother. The one character has a brother that drowned in a cave, I think. And then I don't know if this is his brother or just a friend that maybe he left in a burning car or something.
Yeah, we find out that everyone's sins have come back to haunt them as they maybe make their way to hell. I have theories it might even be the opposite way, just because of the way things go, which I'll get into. I mean, I don't know. Teasing it this early in the episode. I would recommend listening to this episode at all if you didn't watch the movie. I do like that stuff. There's a lot of good character moments that come up that seem dumb, maybe for a moment or two. Then later, it pays off a bit. When the girl sees the guy hanging, I didn't know that was supposed to be reminiscent of her dad. That first person you saw hanging.
Yeah, because that's when she's in Iran. And I was like, is that one of the guys? Because the place she goes in Iran is getting set for demolition, the cave.
Or yeah, like she timed this
secret base or
poorly.
Something. She's in like a... I don't think they ever really explain properly like where she's at. She's in some sort of, obviously, like, I don't know, military base of operations or something, and they're saying they're gonna blow it up at midnight or something like that. And yeah, she has that moment where she runs into a guy hanging from a noose, and I was like, is that one of the guys that works in the military place?
I thought it was, but after watching it, I feel it's her dad, because she seems more shocked by who it is, and we didn't see that person, so I thought it was one of the guards that walked by. The whole blowing the thing up doesn't make a ton of sense, because the guy's house is connected to it. It looks like the whole town is right above this. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It gets the story going. I'm not going to complain about it. But some things do come off weird when George gets forced to go down into this cave. I'm not going caving. I'm not going down there. And he progressively just ends up going down there. And they bring up that line, oh, yeah, his brother drowned in a cave, and that's why he doesn't like caves. Okay. I mean, it's a fine plant for the things that we see later. And like you said, all the characters. I think all the characters have an interesting kind of backstory that you find out as the movie progresses. I don't know if it's always well executed, but I don't know. It always is weird to me, for example, when the guy sees his brother in the water under the bones and he wants to dig his brother out. You know that's not your brother. I would be like, this is some fucking ghost or something. I do not want to be here. I'm just going to march on through this cave and see more weird shit until I can finally get out of here, hopefully. Yeah, I don't even know if many of the jump scare things worked for me. Some of them were funny. The one before the cameraman dies and that girl just like walks in the cave behind him, the girl that we saw earlier a few times. And I think it's so funny because it looks like he's ready to go down and he falls to his death. I thought he was all hooked up. Like, I thought he was like ready to go down. And I did like that shot of him just like slamming to the ground. And yeah, they just keep moving on. Big question, it's found footage. Who found all the footage? Who found everybody's camera? and piece the movie together. I need to know that. They left everyone in the cave, so...
They had, you know...
They would be better if they took everyone's camera off of them or something.
Yeah, they never show them doing that. They have the one camera at the end, because I know she picks it up off of...
Yeah.
I think she picks it up off of his body when she's... That may be the weirdest... One of the weirdest sequences in the movie that's full of some weird stuff, but... I mean, they get in that one chamber, they find the... What they think is the... This is another thing that's, like, still very kind of muddled about the plot that's never fully expressed. They find the stone, they pull it out of the wall, and they're like, oh, we got the stone, and they use it to heal that one girl's arm after she, like, broke it or scratched it a lot. It
was, like, somehow.
Cut real deep. Yeah, they like, rub the stone on it, and it heals her arm, and then she gets killed by that guy, the mole, and they're like, well, it can't bring people back to life. And then they move on from that. But then later when they're going into the... They go deep into the cave, and it's just the... her, George, and the other guy that was with the tour guide that was just, like, his friend or something.
Zed.
Yeah, Zed. They're, like, they go back to keep going deeper in the cave, and then they start seeing those, again, if they're in hell, like, they're seeing demons in, like, black cloaks, and they're walking around.
The stone people are hilarious to me. Yeah. They... I wouldn't even say they were scary, but they... severely injured somebody very quickly, very early on, and then every other time you see them, it makes me think of the putty people from Power Rangers. She's just like running through, punching them in the face, and they're like they just burning in the dust.
Yeah, that's the part that, like, where again it kind of doesn't 100% make a ton of sense what happens, because George gets like bit on the neck by one of the stone people that comes out of the wall. And he's, like, bleeding, like he's gonna die. She tries using the stone to heal him the same way they used on the other person, and they're like, oh, it's not working. Why isn't it working? And she has, like, a weird thing where she's like, this isn't the real stone. And you're like, well, I thought it worked earlier. It was the real stone earlier when you healed that girl. And then she leaves Zed and George, and he's like, hold on, I'll be back. And then just sprints through the entire... cavern that has taken them seemingly hours to go through. She is just sprinting through that whole thing, and then you just have that series of she runs into the guy hanging that then turns into her. There's like bloody hands reaching up from the like, I don't know, like the waterway that's trying to like pull her down. She runs all the way through, puts the stone back, and then it's like a weird thing where she's like, I am the stone. And I was like, what? Then sprints all the way back through again and goes and then heals that guy back to life by giving him a kiss like a fairy tale. And I was like, I am very, very lost on what this is supposed to be, like how this is, like,
I refused to look anything up. I wanted to go in as confused as possible. And then at the end I said, no, I just got to record the podcast. I can't look this up. So, I'm not surprised that she figured out her riddle or whatever. I do think it was pretty convoluted, but what I was understanding, or the best I could put piece things together, the stone worked before everything flipped. So, they healed the girl's arm, and then they went to, like, where everything was mirrored.
Yeah.
And that's when the stone didn't work. Then when she goes back through everything, which... is absolutely ridiculous because everything seemed to be take them forever to get through there, and then she just ran back in like 2 seconds. But when she returns that stone, I don't think it was like necessarily like her the whole time. Yeah, she has the powers of the stone from that point, but I don't think she would have had them if she had not returned the stone. It's not the strongest plot, but I mean I can piece together some things in my head that makes it make a little bit more sense. But I almost like half expected her to crawl up that extremely tall shaft on the with the rope, and it's her point of view from her camera. So I thought when she got up there it was gonna be like a jump scare and she was gonna fall or something like that. Yeah. Even though she's the main character, seemingly I thought that's where she was gonna eat it.
Yeah. It's just such a weird moment. Like I said, I don't fully, like, I mean, I understand how the plot of the movie is, but it still seems like it doesn't make any sense that she's able to again, first off, run clear back through a lot of cave in, like, because that, I mean, that the wound on that guy's neck, like,
no one has helmets, just headlights,
would just be like him bleeding. He would have bled to death in like within a few minutes, and she somehow runs through an entire cave.
He had his like jugular bit, and he was,
yeah, and he still was somehow alive.
Maybe
she
had the power to bring him back from the dead.
Maybe. We don't know. We don't know her full powers.
I theorize they have that little poem about as above, so below. And since they called the movie that, I think that the biggest key to maybe what this movie is about, I don't know what the key goes to. I don't really know how to interpret it. But the way that it ends, because might as well just get into the end. We could jump around farther if we want. They find a manhole cover, which is weird to be that deep into the cave. And whenever they push on it, it's like bizarro flipped over world. They go into the upside down, essentially. And that's the last that you see of them. And everything, you don't really get to see that world. It kind of looked peaceful. So I had the thought, if I wondered if perhaps they were in hell from the beginning and then they rose out of hell. Because you don't get a lot at the end of the movie. You don't see anything in that world. But it seemed like hell pretty early on. Because if she was in Iran and she could see her dad was already seeing shit like that, and we were, and the cameraman's already seeing that girl that's staring at him, and there's that cult. It was just so weird that I just felt, I don't know, maybe they started in hell and they got out of hell. That's my best theory. I can't add any more to that than that's it. That's the whole thing. Because what do you make of the ending? They don't just escape. They're in a weird ass place.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they're still in Paris. Like, they're just in another place in Paris.
It might not be another dimension. It could just be, yeah, like you said, it's another place in Paris.
It is a good shot. I do like the shot of them coming out of the tunnel, or out of the cave upside down, which I'm assuming is probably just like they were probably just had somebody underneath the
pushing
the
them out
set, like pushing them out that way, because I was like, so like it is filmed cool, like they put the camera upside down so it looks like they're falling out of the manhole, but and then like immediately get back into normal gravity. So I'm assuming that's probably just how it was. They probably had like a platform that they
or a reverse camera shot where they actually went into the hole.
Yeah, I think it'd probably be even easier to just have someone push them out of the hole.
That's what you think.
Yeah, they probably weren't doing any crazy shots.
Not condescending on what you think, but I just love the imagery of some guy like some grip just pushing the actor through.
I mean, yeah, I think you could tell it's not reversed, because it would look. That's a problem with doing like reverse shots, is they look, if you don't do them right, then they look just like super. Everything looks too stilted. You can tell it's reversed. Like, you could tell someone like leans back too fast into a thing. So.
Not always. I mean, now with CG, things can be blurred. It could be the smallest.
Now, this was 10 years ago, man. Come on.
The CG existed in, what was this? Is this a 2014 movie? 16?
Yes.
Yeah, CG existed then.
Yeah, I don't think it did.
We saw Zodiac,
pretty
and
sure
that had amazing CG.
Pretty sure CGI was invented last year. It was invented after Oppenheimer came out. They told him, oh, he could have just CGI'd that bomb, and he was like, damn it, I didn't know.
He fucked up.
Yeah. I refuse to believe that there were CGI effects before the Godzilla Minus One team won
for
best visual effects. I refuse
to believe
that
was the beginning right there.
That they had any of those effects prior.
Overall, this movie, I was interested in the adventure aspect of it. The claustrophobic, burlunking thing is a good horror setting. It might have worked better in The Descent. I don't mind the found footage. It works pretty well where it's just not insane the entire time with trying to follow what's going on.
Yeah,
some shit is weird when they get tackled by that police officer. I'm like, what in the fuck is happening? It was just like a random guy, and they're like, it's the police, get down in that tight ass hole. they do that. One character would rather go in the hole than go to jail for trespassing. It would have probably just been better to get caught by the police than have to go down there. Yeah, I like the archaeology aspect of it. I liked where they were talking about the Egyptian hinge when they got to that dead-end room. It felt like Indiana Jones. We got to find the right stone. If we pull the wrong stone, then it's going to collapse on us. If we pull the right stone, it's going to open the door. Yeah. And it had that very, like, Jesus's tomb type door, that, like, round wheel door. And I do like them trying to figure out the solar system from Copernicus's day.
Wait, it had 8 planets. No, they didn't know about this planet. They thought the moon was a planet. Shit.
Yeah, they included the sun. That would be 8. But they wouldn't include Earth because they thought that was the center of the universe. Yeah.
They're giving you some National Treasure moments there, like throwing, sneaking some social studies history into your adventure film.
Yeah, and then the one character that doesn't like caves is pretty decent in the caves, and the cameraman, Benny, or whatever his name is, who never says anything about being scared in the caves, is the worst person in the caves. He's falling. He falls a couple times. One of them is to his death. He's getting stuck. He's hyperventilating. He's insane. They should have never brought him. He was high risk.
They should have just had him hook up the cameras and then stay up top. He could have been the lookout.
See you later. Yeah. No cell phone service. I'm sure that wouldn't work, but
yeah.
It's recording. I'll find you guys later. Yeah, and there was some stuff that they bring up about the conserving their lights.
Which because they never do.
They bring it up one time where they start, half the people turn their lights off. And I think at the very end, they lose their lights, but
yeah,
we can see everything that's going on, so it doesn't come off very realistic. You wouldn't see shit. It would just be straight up black.
Yeah, it's an interesting film. I think it was better. It was still better than, I would say, a lot of found footage films that I've seen. It still had, I'll at least give it credit for not all of the ideas necessarily translated well or like 100% worked, but I still think it was, I'll at least give it credit for like trying to do interesting things with found footage. Yeah, it doesn't use like a ton of jump scares, which I feel like is something that a lot of those films rely very heavily on. And like I would even say, in fact, there's a couple that feel like you're almost expecting there to be some sort of jump scare that doesn't come, like when they go in the room with the knight that's there that is like all preserved, even though he's probably been dead for like 1,000 years, but he still looks alive. Like
it's totally a guy laying on a table, yeah. And yeah, he doesn't jump up to life. Yeah, I expected him to.
Yeah, you 100% expect something like that to happen. So like I said, I was at least glad that they didn't completely just rely on like really bad cheap jump scares. They had feels like a lot of movies, you know, you have to have like at least a couple here and there, but yeah, it didn't feel like they flat out overused it or anything.
Again, maybe it's just us. There wasn't a lot of scary things in this movie. They're all very confident too. There wasn't one character that just seemed like they were gonna starve to death or anything like that. And there were some weird shots that I don't think they could pull off, which would have been cooler. The one in particular was when they went under the water the second time, and you're looking at Papillon's shoes or something, and I think you're supposed to have the sensation that they got sucked through. You have that weird shot where the camera's laying there, it somehow survived underwater, and all the people are like, oh my god, I can't believe we just got sucked through.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that would have been a cool effect if they could actually have pulled off making it look like they were getting sucked through. I keep saying that. That's what they needed. But I also had weird thoughts, too, where that one guy that I don't know whose perspective it was supposed to be, but when you could see the guy's shoes, I think I would have just waited until I felt it was clear and then tried to go through, because you're going to have a bunch of people stuck and drowning underwater. Also, for the drowning thing, the guy whose brother drowned didn't seem to be too concerned about drowning.
Yeah.
That'd have been the perfect time to have a moment. I can't do it. I'm too scared. I'll just stay here and starve to death. There were weird parts where earlier in the film, when the telephone's ringing down there, the ceiling starts to crack, and the guy says, this is a genius, by the way. That's not good, is it? That's not supposed to happen. That's not good, right? Yeah, the ceiling above you cracking is not a good thing.
Great. Good idea.
It's a great thing. Yeah, it's a great
thing. Exactly what you want.
Or, like, they go to find that Papillon guy at the club because some guy told them that's who they want to find, and then he disappeared.
And he disappears instantly. Yeah. Like, that's not weird at all. Yeah, who can lead us? And then, yeah, that guy, maybe you should go to the club. And they're like, we should go to the club, and then look back over, and he's just gone. And they're like, all right.
He should have got up and walked away so he felt like a person and not...
Yeah.
A evil spirit leading them someplace.
Like you were saying, when you're like, maybe they're in hell the whole time, like, and this guy's just trying to, maybe that guy was trying to help them out.
That's why I think they're in hell the whole time, because they're already hallucinating before they get down into the catacombs.
Yeah. I don't know. That could be it. We'll never know.
I don't know if they would escape from hell, but I do like the Dante's Inferno type story. I don't know how expensive the movie was, but it felt like a lot of it was just a reused set again and again and again.
Oh, I'm sure it was 100%.
Before they did their mirror world stuff that didn't 100% work.
Yeah, you had to reuse some stuff, I'm sure.
Like you said, the piano being down there was cool, and he's like, but the one key didn't work, and I'm like, it's not going to work on this piano either. And that moment, it's so weird because I think it's realistic for a character to internalize it, but you think somebody'd be like, you said it looks like it, the same key doesn't work, this is fucking weird. Like, there's nobody bringing up how crazy some of that shit is, which would have been perfect for the cameraman, because these guys seem to be really good at the archaeology, reading whatever dead languages that they needed to know. And the cameraman could have just been the common sense person, but they don't really have a common sense person. They just totally fine with finding that mole guy, following him deeper. They do question that, though. They're like, we got to go down. Yep, we got to go down to go up.
Somebody does say at some point when they're like, is it a good idea to, like, just keep going down?
Well, you know, like, that I think is a half good question. It's good that they're questioning the direction, but they don't have anywhere else to go. So you literally think another character would have to say, where else are we going to go? We're being herded into one place. We have no options whatsoever. They very rarely are in a room where they have some space to breathe. Like the gold thing where they collapse the ceiling there, after they already talked about traps where the ceilings would collapse. Everybody likes gold. I don't know. I think that also would have been an opportunity for the characters to be really smart and just be like, this gold has to be a trick, right? And they're like, yes. And they just avoid the gold. There'd be some audience member watching and being like, mm-mm. I bet you that gold, they could have totally taken it if they wanted it. I feel like there's something missing with the Flamel story, because the stone's supposed to give him eternal life. He knows where the stone is. I suggested he put the stone there and planned where his body was going to be buried. So how's he dead with the stone that makes him live? He did have some cool ideas with hiding messages on his tombstone that he personally made. Hopefully he was like, just put this in a little slot so, you know, it can come off the wall easily. Don't, like, cement it to the wall, because no one's ever going to be able to read my secret hidden message if you do that.
You can't ask too many questions. No. Some stuff's just going to be, you're just going to have to guess.
I am happy, though, we went with something new. I had thought about Lake Mungo as well. Lake Mungo, watching it a second time, it is a really good movie. I really liked Man Bites Dog. I would even say I liked this movie. I just didn't love it. I don't hate it. It's too soon to know if anything's really going to stick with me so much. I thought about Cloverfield. I love Cloverfield, but I felt like, you know, so many people have seen Cloverfield and we would just be watching Cloverfield again. So let it breathe.
Yeah, there's a lot of choices out there, and there's not a lot of good ones. I feel like this
better
is
than
a
most.
Genre that, yeah.
Still, the genre, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The genre in general, it's a lot of... A lot of it's, like I said, a lot of it falls into the same problems of the cheap jump scares, like nothing's the interesting. So many of the found footage films are zombie films. There's a ton of those. Or a lot of them are like ghost films. And how many Paranormal Activity films that I've only ever seen the first one and didn't care for it, so I've never watched it.
Oh, we're on the same boat then. I hated that movie. And then there's like six of them.
There's a lot of them. And I saw it with, I don't know, maybe I saw it with, I obviously think I saw it in theaters with the target audience, because that audience was, that theater was just full of probably mostly teenage kids that were like, oh my God, oh, don't go in there, like yelling at the screen. I was like, this is...
Get out the like, damn house. What are you doing in there?
I was like,
you know that shit's haunted.
Movie? Like, because I don't think this is all that interesting, but...
But, it, like we said in the last episode, Lake Mungo, Blumhouse wouldn't have survived if these movies didn't do well. That company wouldn't be around. You brought it up much earlier when we were talking about all the movies that we love that they have made, and they don't always make good movies, but it does go back pretty much to Paranormal Activity. That's probably why they made six of them. They're like, now we can make other original horror movies finally.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest ones other than, like, to come after Blair Witch, which is the one that still a lot of people look at as the thing that kind of started, or at least, like, really popularized found footage early on. That was probably the next big, at like, and it's like a weird, they like didn't really capitalize on found footage after Blair Witch. It was a long time before, between Blair Witch and Paranormal Activity. Paranormal Activity was 2007, Blair Witch was 1999, and like a lot of those movies that came in between are
Cloverfield. But yeah, Diary of the Dead was bad. Cloverfield was after 2008. It's in between.
Yeah, so it was
I'm saying.
After. No, I said 2007 was Paranormal Activity.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it came after. It was maybe inspired by.
Yeah.
There's not a lot in between those movies that I would call, like, mainstream or is, like, anything. There were a lot of found footage movies between.
A lot of found footage films, horror, too.
But not any that were, like, mainstream. A lot of it's, like, straight to DVD level type stuff. Like, so they're... It pretty much
all
goes
those
straight from
VHS movies. They're all found footage, aren't they? Essentially,
yeah. Then the Wreck movies, Quarantine.
Yeah, I didn't even watch any of those.
You should watch them. They're good.
I want to watch the originals.
I really like those ones. Those are.
Yeah.
I think all those are good. Other than I don't think the last one's very good. I have the box set from, I think it was Scream Factory did the Blu-ray box set of that. I think. The first two are both found footage films. The third one starts as found footage and then does like District 9, where it transfers over, like the cameraman gets his camera knocked out of his hand and then it turns into just a regular movie where he's like, oh, you broke my camera, man, and it just turns into a straight up horror movie.
Remember when you brought up this subject of found footage and you said, remember the movie that you told me I should do?
What?
You told me I should do Blair Witch 2, The Book of Shadows.
Yeah. I feel like somebody found that footage, I guess. It had to be, right? It's an interesting genre. I feel like when it's done really well, it can be a really, really great, amazing movie. Like, again, Man Bites Dog and Lake Mungo, I think, are both really great, amazing movies. And this one I still think is pretty good. But it's just another one that... A lot of people, I think the thing that attracted most people to doing them for the longest time, especially in like the mid-2000s, 2010s, was just how cheap it was. I mean, you could film on a cheap
camera. No, they lied
to
us.
You could, you know, it didn't have to look good. It was supposed to look like garbage, you know.
Most of those movies, they have a cheap camcorder, and the imagery looks so much better than what... those cameras could do.
Yeah.
And they're also the most durable cameras of all time. They never run out of battery either. Most of these, the camera would have shattered and broke if they dropped it on the ground, and they're always dropping these damn things on the ground.
Yeah. It's definitely a genre that I feel like is finally probably, I don't want to say dead, but it is slowed down.
It's taking
down.
A break.
It is definitely slowed down. We only had three found footage films of all of 2023. Is a real drop in numbers from like 2014, the year this came out, when I think there was
there a dash cam movie called Dash Cam too?
Yes.
See, I don't know how that would work for a whole movie, but I would be interested to see what they do.
I heard that movie was awful.
See?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it justifies it, but it's like a movie that takes place in one setting. A room or a coffin. How often we see shit like that. The story has to move in a way that's interesting, and the cast has to be good. So, yeah, if you think, oh, I'll just do it on a dash cam, but you don't really have a fucking story, yeah, how does it work? Where does it continue on, or when can you stop?
Yeah. The only other thing I've ever seen, too, that was kind of interesting with found footage was they did try to do a TV show with found footage that was done by the guys that did Paranormal Activity, and it came out pretty much after that. I think they were also trying to capitalize on Lost, because it came out 2 years after Lost, and it was on ABC. It was like, it's the river, and they were down, and I think they were literally on the Amazon River in South America, and it was like, weird stuff happens to them while they're on their boat, and it very much felt like a found footage ripoff of just Lost. So people have tried to do different things with it, but...
You know what they need to do? Here's a free idea for anyone out there. I would love to see, like, a movie that isn't found footage, but they find the footage... They find a camera, and the sequel is just the found footage of what the hell happened the first time around.
So a reverse Blair Witch Project?
Yes. Because then it answers all your questions. Who found it? And maybe you get enough information about where they're exploring. And it's always horror, too. That's a thing I should have thought about before we recorded the episode. We joked about they need to do, like, a romance movie found footage, but you assume if it's found, something bad happened to these people. But it's always horror. And yeah, a lot of these aren't cheap. Paranormal Activity, I think, was cheap. This movie didn't look that cheap. It looked like it had a lot of
$4 million.
That's pretty good, actually. It did feel like everything that you see in the that's a tunnel felt like the same set that they just kept redressing. No problem there. It's smart to do that. And then everything else seemed like maybe they just fucking walked around Paris or something, you know? You'll be like, they didn't even film it in Paris. Yeah, you can see it. If you go on Amazon, you can buy the Blu-ray for $5. I'm sure it's streaming everywhere, but...
Actually, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
Nope. Not for
it's a hard-to-find movie now.
You had to pay for it everywhere. I thought it would at least be on Tubi, but...
Well, if you're going to pay for it, have it shipped from Amazon for $5.
I mean, when I looked at this film, I said, oh, this has got to be a Tubi movie. I said, come on, it's got to be. And then I was like, this isn't a Tubi movie? Come on.
You know this thing was probably on Netflix, Max, Paramount,
I'm sure
everything,
yeah.
And it fell off last month or something.
Yeah. It was a good thing I bought it for $5 when you told me.
So if anybody's listening to this episode way late, I mean, I like to say, hey, this is where we watched it, but the bad thing with streaming is it could already be off that streaming service within a couple of weeks of the time, you know? Or, like, I'll see good things on Criterion Channel. There's a theme that we're doing later this year, and there were a lot of movies that I was like, oh, I could do. It was, like, a whole theme that kind of fit that theme. And I was like, by the time we record, it's not going to be here for free anymore. Or a part of the service, I should say. It's not free. And it'll probably just be impossible to find. I do think about that stuff. But there's always effedupmovies.com. It's not a legal site. You can watch, like, Shrek there or something. What was the weird movie?
Yeah, was it? I think it was, like, Minions was on there one time.
Something like, yeah, it's... I can't even remember what we watched on there. There's a couple times where, like, we went to go find something that I think would be an effedupmovie.com. But to see Minions on there makes me laugh, too, that somebody uploaded that.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how this goes because, like you said, our Oscars episode did really well just the first day alone. So thank you, everybody, for listening to that. I think the found footage might be a little bit harder for listens. But if you do like what you're listening to, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. It helps us a ton. We're going to be off next week, and then we're coming back with Spaghetti Westerns, and we should have a guest, Jacob Rowland, for all of them. We'll see what happens. We'll have episodes where I'm like, Chuck's not here, Jacob's not here.
Sometimes you're just by yourself.
I am just by myself talking about this Western here. So that'll be fun and different, and we'll have 4 weeks of it, because we gave Jacob a pick.
Yeah, should be good. I think we have all good picks there. A couple that I haven't seen, and couple that I have seen, and I think they're good.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think, yeah. Actually, that is pretty much the description I would say of all of our months so far. There's a few where I've seen them all, but maybe not have seen them in a while. But almost every month, there's something new for me. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, you're awesome. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
We are Cinema D'Amore. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with news and information on upcoming episodes. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Pandora, Alexa, or iHeartRadio. It would be greatly appreciated if you subscribe to our podcast on your platform of choice. We also appreciate feedback, so rate us, review us, and let us know what you think. And above all else, thank you for listening.